Well, I appreciate your prayers this afternoon. I do have a thought on my heart, and pray the Lord would bless me to be able to relate it to you all in a way that would be pleasing to Him and edifying to us. I'd like to start in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. First verse. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, I was thinking about this, and how many of you believe that they had never prayed before? These men that were following Jesus, I believed, were praying men. I believe they prayed. But they heard something there. It says that Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased, they had a question for him. Why do you think they asked him that? Why do you think that all of a sudden they would ask him, Lord, teach us to pray? Because they heard something in that prayer. They experienced something in what Jesus was doing right then, and the way that he was communicating with his Father, that they saw a need within themselves. I need to learn how to pray. Lord, help me to know how to pray. To know how to be able to reach the throne of God like you are reaching the throne of God. Yes. Teach me how to pray. And I mean, I don't know about you all. I know that in my life there's been times early in my faith where I had a lot of time on my hands. And I could sit for hours and pray, and it didn't bother anything else I had to do. I didn't have anything else to do. I could pray and I could read the Word of God, and there wasn't a whole lot else to do. But there have been times where my life has been so busy and so consumed with so many things that need to be done, and I find myself getting to where I'm like rushing to get some time to pray. I don't have all day to get a hold of God. I have to be able to get a hold of Him in the time that I have. But there's more to it than that, because there's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. And so sometimes I can get caught up in my own thinking and my own way of believing that somehow I got to be in a certain place, in a certain environment, and everything's got to be this and that way, and then I can pray and get a hold of God. But the scriptures don't teach us that. The scriptures tell us that we can pray and we can speak to the Lord and communicate with God in our daily lives. And I was imagining how, obviously, you know, my life is very busy right now, and sometimes it's very difficult to be able to get adequate time to read the Word of God. But I always have time to pray. Or I should have. Right? I mean, I may not be able to read the scriptures on my way to work driving the truck, but I could pray. Right? And I'm swinging a hammer, or if I'm using a screw gun or whatever, I can pray. I may not be able to read the scriptures in those moments, but I could pray. And the Lord can reveal scriptures to my heart and to my mind that I can pray about and meditate on and communicate with Him on. You know, I've heard it's not just new believers that are wanting to know how to pray or knowing how to communicate with God. I've talked to people that have been serving the Lord for a very long time and have gotten to places in their lives where they felt like they were struggling to get a hold of God for whatever reason, whether it be busyness of life or just the season that they're in, or they felt like God was being quiet for some reason and not seemingly not answering or seemingly not listening. But that's not the case. He is listening. He hears your prayers. And He may be answering your prayers. And we're just not having ears to hear it. Or maybe we're not asking the right questions. But Jesus, His response to the disciples, I think is interesting. But they asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is what He said. He said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's it. Now go on. You think that's what they were asking for? Teach me to pray, Lord. And He gives a list. Well, you just say this. And I've seen people, I've known people that pray this. They pray it word for word. And, you know, this is the list. This is the list that Jesus gave. He said, this is how you pray. And so they pray it. It's so much deeper than that. The Lord was really just giving them points. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, and I wish I'd do it more. But there's been times in my life where in prayer, I would just say, Lord, you are worthy. You are glorious, you are infinite, you're eternal, you are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, mercy, your mercy is far reaching, your compassion fails not, you are so faithful and good. Just recognizing who God is and glorifying His name. You know, when you can go into prayer and begin prayer like that, It helps your faith. It helps you know that this God that you're talking to cares. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to hear what it is that you have to say. It matters to Him. And so Jesus says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But like I said, it could go so deep. There's so much that we can say in that of who God is and what His character is, and being able to exalt His name in prayer and recognizing in our hearts that He's all those things. You know, I can stand here and tell you how beautiful you are and how tall and strong you are and all these things, and it might just be words. But it's so much deeper when it's from the heart. It's so much. I mean, I can sit here and say all these things about God, but if I'm not resonating in my heart that these are the facts, this is the truth. This is who God is. God is love. God is merciful and kind. God is faithful. God will not forsake me. Those are affirming attributes of God that it strengthens our faith. And we're going into prayer needing faith. We're needing to know who it is that we're calling out to, knowing that He is able to do what it is that we're asking him to do. Thy will be done. Not many people will start their prayer that way. Thy will be done. Because in a lot of times, I'm not even going to say that. It's not a lot of times. I will say there are times when we're going to the Lord in prayer that we're really not asking him for his will, but we're asking him for what we will. Right? And we're just asking him to agree. We're asking him to sign on with it. Lord, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is my passion, Lord. And I have so many reasons why you should answer in accordance to what I think and what I believe. But you know, it's safe. It is very safe to say thy will be done. It's not a scary thing to say thy will be done, Lord. Not after you got done finishing up with how great he is and how faithful he is, how much he cares for you and how much he loves you and is a compassionate father and he's going to take care of his children. And why be afraid at that point to say thy will be done? You are infinite and powerful. You can do exceedingly above what we can even ask or think. Do you know that sometimes if you're praying and you're praying for what you think would be the best, you're limited in your thinking. You could be limiting your answer because you have a little box of what you think is possible or what you think can actually occur, and you're praying in accordance to that. But when you say, thy will be done, you just open the big box. Because he's able to do far exceeding what we would even think or even imagine to ask for. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt guilty about asking for something that you thought maybe it was a little too big? Or, you know, maybe it's too much. We don't have to be that way with God. We don't have to be that way. Now, obviously, you know, we can be... There are ways of asking for God that is trying to consume it upon our lust or trying to get something maybe that we ought not to get. But when you're praying and you're seeking the Lord and it's every bit within his will to give you what it is you're asking of him, there ought to be no doubts. He wants to do it. He's longing to do it. Do you know that? He wants to answer those prayers. We can say, thy will be done. Give us day by day our daily bread. You know, sometimes it's hard to explain to my children when we thank the Lord for the food. Because they think, well, Dad bought it, right? Or sometimes they don't even think that. They think it just appeared out of the sky. And I think that sometimes we can get in our own thinking mixed up about some things. You know, the Lord does provide us our day-to-day bread? That's not something that just, well, I'll just get out there and I'll just make it happen. Well, I'll tell you, there can be some circumstances and situations that happen where you won't do that. And you'll come to realize, I need God for my daily bread. And so I think it's beneficial for us to always know that every good thing comes from God. Even to the daily bread that we eat. The clothes that we wear. The home that shelters us. And so the Lord was teaching them to pray, but he was teaching them principles of prayer. You know, you've heard many people mention the principles in the scriptures. It's not always just lined out. Here's the list. You know, let me just scroll out the scroll and here's the list. No, there's principles involved, and there's things that are encompassed in these principles that are going to reach far and abundantly in these little aspects of prayer. And so we can say, Lord, they asked him to help them to pray or teach them to pray, and he gave them a 3 or 4 verses worth. And think that somehow they got shortchanged a little bit there, but there's a lot in this. I'm not even scratching the surface of what could be said about these different aspects in prayer. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. If you've never come to the realization that you needed God to forgive you of something, and I'm not trying to make that like a right this minute, you need God to forgive you for something, but I'm saying in your life, if you've never come to that realization that you needed forgiveness from God, then I pray that the Lord would open your eyes. And he says that if we desire forgiveness from him, we need to be willing to forgive others. There's a very powerful story the Lord gives in the scripture, and we're not going to turn to it, but there was a man that owed an umpteen amount of money and couldn't pay it. And he begged his master, please, just give me time. I'll pay you, please. And it was so sincere and earnest in his desire to be forgiven. And the master was just like, you know what? Okay, I forgive you. Just forgave the debt. Didn't say, well, you pay me when you can, but he just forgave the debt. And that servant went away, and I'm sure he was rejoicing and very happy. But, you know, he went and met one of his fellow servants that owed him. And I don't know exactly how much he owed him, but let's say it was like $15. The guy was forgiven $1 million, and now his buddy owes him $15. And he's going to throw him in prison for it. And his friend says the same thing. Please, forgive me. Don't give me time. Don't turn me in. I'll pay you all. Nope. You're going to jail. Refuse to forgive him. And I think that when we can look at it in those terms and think, it's very easy for me to see the injustice in that. Because I was forgiven a lot. I feel like I can resonate with being forgiven millions and millions of dollars, you know. And how unjust it would be for me to refuse to forgive you for whatever it was that you had done. I could just feel the out of balance that would be. And that's what the Lord was expressing to us, is the debt that we had for him far exceeds, is so much more weighty than what anyone else can be indebted to us for. And so he says, forgive us our sins, but as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So in a way it's saying, forgive me as I forgive. Or use the same ruler. Use the same measure. When you think of it in those terms, forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. I think that brings it home. That we really need to have sincere and heartfelt forgiveness for others if we want the Lord to forgive us. But you know, prayer is so important in our lives. our communion with God is so important. I've heard it said many a times, and I know it's true, that they say that a lot of times when people come to the altar and they're praying, one of the things that they can pinpoint is that there's been a problem in their prayer life somewhere. There's been a disconnect somewhere in their communion with God and their ability to communicate with Him, to be able to hear His voice, to follow His way, to have the Lord speaking to you and saying, "Nope, son, I don't want you to go there. Come this direction." Or, "Watch out." You know, whatever it is that the Lord is speaking to your heart, and having that communion without ceasing. Because you know that when you're out and about and you're living your life, there are times when you're going to be addressed by the enemy, and you're going to need to pray, and you're going to need to be in prayer, and you're going to be able, need to be able to communicate and get in touch with God and battle that enemy in that moment. And so it's so important to have a sincere connection with God in prayer. Let's go to Matthew 14. I think one of the last sections of that Lord's Prayer was that, "Lead us not into temptation." In Matthew, actually, I'm sorry, it's Mark 14. Mark 14 and 35. "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." I just want to bring out something very quickly. Jesus did this. Jesus had a need to pray. He went forward a little space and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. I think we can take from this too that when you're in that crushing, burdensome situation that's in your life, that's weighing heavily upon you, that it seems like it's well above what you are able to bear, and you're asking for the Lord if it were possible to remove it from you, that we need not be shamed in that. That you can do that. You can present it to God and say, "Lord, this weight is heavy. This circumstance is, it just seems like it's more than I can bear. I don't see how I can go another step this way. I don't see how I can survive this circumstance or this situation. I don't know how I would be able to continue life if I were to lose this loved one." Do you know that we can pray to God like that? That we can pour our hearts to Him and tell Him what's really on our hearts. Say, "Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand how all of this works. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to bring about all this for good, for me and for those around me. I don't know how you're going to work this out. I don't even know why this would be the best way to go about this. I don't know why this is the best way, but I know that this is how you're leading. I know this is the direction that we're going, but I don't understand it all. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to believe and to have faith in you no matter what. Help me to be able to say, thy will be done no matter what." Jesus fell down on the ground. You know, sometimes I can look at Jesus as, I mean, just Superman, you know. Well, yeah, Jesus did it, you know. Well, I'm not Jesus. But yet here we have him on the ground. He fell on the ground and was crying out unto his Father. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. He asked him to take away the cup. You know, I've heard people that were in very difficult situations, and they had, and I'm going to say they got something from God to be able to say, I don't need him to take the cup from me. I'll be happy for him to do it, but I don't need him to, because I want to walk the path that he has for me. I want to live the life that he has for me to live. If there's something to be gained by this, then so be it. And I say that that comes from God. Because Jesus' prayer is, take this cup from me. And again, there's nothing to be said negative about that. If it be possible. It was not possible. This was the path. And I'm so thankful that God allowed it to continue. And for that sacrifice to be made. Because it's our salvation there. It's the reason why we can be saved. But he has also said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You know, I was reading another scripture where Jesus said something to the effect, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. And he said, I don't say it because I know you always hear me. But I say it for those who are standing by, that they might know that you've heard me. And part of me wonders if Jesus' prayer wasn't somewhat for those standing by. Just as we were reading earlier where they heard his prayers. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And here we have another prayer. And I wish they hadn't slept through part of his prayer. Because there was a lot to be gained in that garden. For them to hear and to experience and to receive instruction. When he was able at that point to be able to say, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, Lord. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I think of this instruction that Jesus gave to Peter, and I don't necessarily believe it was just for Peter, but it was an instruction to all of them there and to us as well, to watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. You know, we have an enemy that surrounds us about and is very active. He doesn't care if you're tired or busy or, like he said, sad or hurt. All of these different avenues that we become vulnerable in, these circumstances that reach every one of our lives at one point or another. And it's a vulnerable place for us. And he's telling us that we need to be careful to pray. And not just figure out how to pray right then, but to know how to pray, to know how to get a hold of God before that comes. And being able to connect with God in a way so that when that time comes, we're reaching the throne of God. How do we reach God's throne. And I think that was essentially what maybe the disciples were asking Jesus, or at least that would be one of my prayers to him. How do I reach God's throne the way you're reaching the Lord's throne? How do I connect in that way? Where I know that everything that I'm saying is being heard, and not just heard, but it matters. And that you're working behind the scenes to bring about and to establish a result that's going to be a blessing, that's going to be powerfully working in my life and in the circumstance of whatever it is I'm praying for. How do I get a hold of you in that way where I can know that you're hearing me and that it's not just hitting the ceiling, but it's going into the throne? Because that's available to every one of us. Let's look at Luke 18. Luke 18 and 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which were trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I think it's important to think of that right there. He prayed thus with himself. He wasn't really praying to God. He was saying a lot of things, and it was a form of prayer, but there was something missing. There was an element, a very important element missing. He was praying thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's basically giving a that-a-boy speech to himself, you know. But he's seeing these as being important before God. This is why you ought to hear me. This is why you ought to answer me. Because of how good I am. But then in verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, didn't feel like he could even get close. But he's afar off. Would not lift up so much as his eyes. He didn't even think that he could even look at God. And he's afar off. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, I think of that man, and it's not just about his sin. You know, he came before God, and he was willing to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. I need you to cleanse me and purify me. I need you to wash my heart clean. Remove this nastiness out of my life. What is he presenting before God but honesty? He's coming to the Lord with a heart of honesty and saying, this is who I am. Now, we just got done praying, Lord, you are great, you are mighty, you are merciful, you are everlasting, and this is what I am. Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, purify me. Make me clean. And what that says is that you're understanding your needs. And like I said, it's not just about sin. Maybe you don't need him to forgive your sins. But maybe you need him to heal your heart. Maybe you need him to help you to have strength and courage in life. To fight the good fight of faith. To not grow weary in well-doing. And all of that is saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, this is where I need you. I need you to give me courage. I need you to give me strength. I need you to let me know that you're with me and that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, that I'm not limited. Lord, help me. That is a prayer that we can pray. And it's a prayer that's going to reach God's throne. It signifies the humility that the publican had. Lord, I need you. Lord, this daily bread, this seems like it would be insignificant, but it's very important. When you don't have daily bread, it becomes the most important thing that you can think of at the time, I think. I've prayed with people that when they prayed for their food, I knew that there was times in their life they didn't have it. I don't know. It was an experience that I'll never forget. We had a little meager bowl of soup and he prayed over that soup like he was just, thank you, Lord, for this soup. And I mean, it just washes over me right now because I'm experiencing it over again. He was really thankful. And it's sad because there was times in his life where he didn't have food to eat. And he was very appreciative for what he had. But I don't know if I'm getting my thought across that that is prayer. It comes from within. As much as we want to say all the right things and we want to sound clear and concise and we want it to sound pious or whatever, you know. And I'm not going to say that none of those things are important. But the depth of it is our hearts before God. And being able to pour out our hearts to Him. These desires that we have and these concerns that we're presenting to Him. Because every one of us is going to reach a point in our lives where those prayers are very important. They're important when they come and they're for other people. But I'll tell you, when you're the one hurting, or it's your baby that's hurting, it opens up a whole new world of importance in prayer. And you pour out your heart before God because you feel helpless to do anything without Him. You've got to get a hold of God because He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can meet this need. You're the only one, Lord, who can answer this call. And so we're begging you, we're pleading with you, Lord, hear our prayer. It's from the heart. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. So here the disciples had just gotten, I think they had gotten beaten maybe and told, don't you ever speak in this name of Jesus anymore. We're going to let you go, but don't ever speak or preach in the name of Jesus. And so they're presenting their case before God. Said, Lord, you behold their threatenings. You've heard what they said. And you know what they're capable of, essentially. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You know, don't know, sometimes we can look at them and think, well, you know what, just get some courage. Get on out there and you just preach the gospel anyways, you know. But I don't know if we really imagine what that's like. To know that your physical well-being is at stake. So they had some earnest prayer going here. Lord, you've heard their threatenings. Now we know that we got to speak the name of Jesus. We have to preach the gospel. We have to deliver the messages you've given to us to deliver. There's no doubt about that. It has to be said. So Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Immediate answer. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you know that we need to be able to pray that prayer? And it's not as easy as it sounds. I don't know if we realize how difficult it is sometimes to speak with boldness. I mean, we were talking about it just in the young people's meeting the other night, you know. The difficulty it is to sing even in front of people who care about you, that are your friends, that agree. Imagine having to do that in front of people who disagree, or they can be very mean about it and ugly about it. Maybe even would want to hurt you over it. And the need to be able to have boldness in those times. We can pray that prayer. Lord, grant me boldness to testify unto your goodness and to your power and to your glory. Lord, grant me boldness to stand up and say, I trust the living God and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I think of Sister Darlene and how she boldly says, I love Jesus. And I wish that we could stand in the middle of Walmart and say, I love Jesus. And we might look at that and think, well, that's kind of silly. Is it? I'm not asking you to go do it. Unless the Lord tells you to. But you know that we could have boldness to do it? By the power of God? And I wish that we would be willing to do it. You know, we talk about, Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would, he says, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, I can see a whole lot of individuals getting behind that and saying, Lord, send them, Lord, send them. Send them out there, Lord. We need laborers in this harvest, Lord. Send them all. Them. But can we get in earnest and say, Lord, send me, like the brother mentioned. Not just like, well, Lord, send me maybe. But to be in earnest, to say, Lord, we need laborers in the harvest. Lord, our country, the people are struggling. They're dying in the streets, Lord. without a Savior. They don't even know what the truth is. They don't even know that they can be delivered and saved. They don't even understand what's available to them, Lord. And I'm ill-equipped. I don't have the ability in me to do it, Lord. I don't have the boldness in me to do it. I don't see how is it at all possible that I can be valuable to you in this. But I'm asking you, Lord, to send me. I'm asking you to equip me. I'm asking you to make me what I need to be so that I can fulfill this need. Not just saying, it's not me. I'm not equipped that way, or I'm not. Well, pray. And ask the Lord to equip you. Because we need you. The world needs you. And I believe that we could pray with earnest that God would use me. Lord, use me for your kingdom. However you want to do it. However you desire to use me. Whether it be a small task or a large task. Whether it be well known or little known. Use me, Lord. Make me a vessel that can be used by you. And have it so deep within your heart that He'd answer that prayer. Do you think that God doesn't want to use you? Do you think that He's like, no, I'm going to use somebody else. Or I'll just as soon go without. No. That's a prayer that He wants to answer. And so when we can get into earnest and say, Lord, use me, make me what you would have me to be, and really get behind it in our hearts, He's going to answer that prayer. And He is going to use you. And you're going to be blessed by it. Your life is going to be enriched because of it. Because not just because of your willingness to be used of God, but because of what He's going to do inside you to equip you for that. It's going to be a wonderful ride. Let's go to Genesis 32. And this is, I don't want to just say it's one of my favorites or whatever, but I really love this. Genesis 32 and 23. So Jacob is coming out and he's headed home. And he's got his family and everything that he owns with him. And he's got an adversary at home. And he's recalling the fact that Esau, his brother, would have killed him probably had he stayed. And some would argue maybe rightfully so because of what Jacob had done to him. But thank God for forgiveness that Jacob was forgiven. But Jacob is coming back and he's about to meet this adversary. And he's got, like I said, he's got all his family, his children, and it's a very serious situation because it may not just be Jacob. But it would be his whole house and everything that he owned. And so do you see that he has a need? Do you recognize that Jacob is needy before God? I'm going home and I'm going to have to face Esau, Lord. And I need you to help me. I need you to be with me in that. I need you to bless me and protect me. Protect my children. Protect my wives. And so in 24 it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go Thank God. Do not let him go. Don't stop. Don't give in. Don't just throw in the towel and say, Lord, you didn't hear me. You weren't listening. I'm just done. I'm not going to pray no more about it. Don't do that. Do not let him go. He wants to bless you. He wants to answer your call. He wants to answer your prayer, but you got to dig in there. You got to be earnest about it. You got to act like you want it. How bad do you want it? Call out unto God. Refuse to give in, to give up, to say, Lord, I know this is your will. I know you want to do this. I know that you're my help. You're my deliverer. You're my savior. You're going to come to my rescue. I know you're not going to forsake me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Thank God. You're not Jacob anymore, but you're Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He prayed through. He got the answer. He got all the way through. And the Lord blessed him. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You know, I love that. It's so encouraging and strengthening to know that we can go before God and have our prayers answered. But let us not be weary. Let us not give up and give in, but pray through to the blessing. Because the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to pour out a blessing upon you. He is hearing your call. He is hearing your prayers. But you know that he didn't answer Jacob's prayer right away? He could have. He could have answered it within 5 minutes. But he said he wrestled him through the night. You know there's something to be gained in that wrestling? There's something to be gained in the struggles that we face in life. There's something to be gained when God doesn't just give us everything. I mean, everybody knows you give your children everything, they just spoil them to death. There's value in that. In having a little bit of withholding. How bad do you want it? Are you sure? Are you sincere? Are you earnest? Because I need a faithful soldier. I need somebody that's going to withstand the heat, the battle. You know, this is not going to be a battle without opposition. You're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be earnest. You're going to need to have a resolve in this. And so I'm teaching you that, son. Learn it. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I really believe that is part of the crux of what's going to help us in our prayers before God. It's not that we always have to get everything that we want. Because we do say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. But we need to be able to pray with earnest before God. Amen. And not give in and not give up. Yes. I want to be able to reach the throne of God in my prayers. And I know that you do too. Yes. And I don't want to ever give up when it gets tough or when it gets hot or when the battle seems like it's insurmountable, that is when I want to dig in and get even more earnest in prayer before the Lord. And so I guess I could say in closing that my prayer, and I ask that you all would pray for me, that I would go before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Yes. Teach me to have that earnest and that ability to get to your throne in intimacy. Pray for me.